HDRadioNetwork.com.
You're listening to VictoryLaneRadio.com.
He is the publisher of Racing Times magazine. She is the voice of NASCAR. Together, they will take you to the checkered flag. It's time for Racing Times with Alan and Robin. Now, here are your hosts, Alan and Robin.
And welcome to another edition of Racing Times Live with the Blonde and the Bombshell. I am the Blonde and Alan is the Bombshell. How are you doing, Alan?
I'm doing good. Had a long week, but I'm doing good.
Yeah, I heard you had a long week. You were absolutely everywhere. It's absolutely crazy. How many places did you actually go? How many racetracks did you go?
Well, actually, I didn't really do a lot of the racetracks itself. I did a lot of coverages through different media outlets and different things like that. But, you know, and I went on different places too. Mm-hmm. It's just been a long week of racing, plus getting your room ready with the potpourri and everything. So it's been a long week.
Exactly. For those of you that don't know, I'm on my way to Connecticut next Tuesday. We will then be going to Loudon a week from now on Thursday. We'll be spending the whole weekend there. And then we are... I'm staying another week because we want to make sure that I get to hit up all of the tracks within the New England area. And I know that we're going to Thompson, we're going to Stafford, we're going to Waterford. Is that correct? That's you said
yep.
You put into yep. my itinerary. So, but I can't wait to go to Thompson. And I can't wait to meet some of our listeners that have said to me, hey, I remember your cousin. I remember when he raced at Thompson. I remember when he was injured. And I really, really cannot wait to talk to those people because they're going to tell me awesome memories of my cousin that I can't wait to hear. And I also hope that I get to see his name on the Hall of Fame over at Thompson Motor Speedway. So that'll be really, really cool. We've got a lot of guests tonight. We have got so many things going on in the next 3 weeks. It's absolutely crazy. But I want to just give everybody a quick rundown of who our guest is going to be tonight. I guess he's called GB3, correct? He's called GB3?
Yep.
Yep.
Just like RG3.
Exactly. Which is George Brunholz, right? And
George Brunholz III.
Yep. Yes, the third. And he's three generation race car driver, which is pretty damn cool. And he won last week at Caraway. And then on to another winner who won last week, driver Rowan Penick, and he drives for Kelly Iverson. And then we're going to have Macy Nichter, who is this teeny tiny little girl who drives monster trucks. And I've talked to her before. She's absolutely fantastic. And you would never, if you looked at her Facebook page, you'd be like, seriously, she drives monster trucks? Because she's this teeny tiny little thing. But yes, she does. So we're going to have her on as well. So much happened during the weekend. There were so many local tracks that were celebrating the 4th of July. And then, of course, NASCAR kind of changed up their schedule and thought, wow, why don't we turn what's normally on a Saturday night race, we'll turn it into a Sunday night race. And I know a lot of people are saying that, you know, they didn't make the right decision, this, that, and the other thing. I kind of agree with them, and it's got nothing to do with the rain. They can't control rain. So I'm not saying it because of that. What I'm saying is, you know, it's the 4th of July weekend, right? And you got to get up Monday morning to go to work, you know? So their attendance was down, and not to mention how long was that rain delay? At least... it was supposed to start at 5:30. It started around 11:30. So, I mean, that's a long time. That was a long time. Did you watch the whole thing?
No, I went to bed after the first accident with David Gillon. And I was just, at that time, it was already like 12:30. I'm like, I had to get up in the morning. So I was like, you know, I have a DVR, so I did record it, so I did get to see everything, but I just couldn't stay up. I mean, those guys, I mean, maybe not the drivers because of the adrenaline, they're in the cars, but you got to give it out for the spotters, the crew members.
Right.
You know, them guys stayed up the whole time, you know, so I'm sure like when 3:30 rolled in the morning happened, when we were just asleep on pit row.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of people there saying that the drivers were probably tired. Well, I don't know. I mean, they were all seeing the same exact radar we were. They knew that they probably weren't going to go. I'm sure some of them took a nap. I know that, you know, I listened to a lot of the scanners, you know, through the NASCAR.com, and, you know, all of them sounded like they were pumped and ready to go, and they were pumping up their teams and saying, you know, it's the teams, I think, like the spotters that may have been, you know, maybe tired, you know, I mean, because it was that great big huge crash, of course, at the end with Austin Dillon. And of course, nobody's talking about the fact that Dale Jr. won, but Dale Jr. won, and another restrictor plate race. So nobody's really that surprised. But I think, you know, the fact that it was, you know, it was going to end up being a green white checkered. And, you know, that one crash, and it was horrific, absolutely horrific. But I think it was horrific just watching it. But once that you saw that Dillon was out of the car, he was fine, you know, and then you hear, you know, three people or four people were injured in the stands. And I think like two of them are going to sue NASCAR for damages or something, which is ridiculous, but whatever. but yeah, it was a very long race. It was very long. But like I said, you know, I listened to Casey for a while. I listened to Junior for a while. And then when Casey was in a wreck, I turned it over to Harvick. And I listened to Harvick throughout the whole thing. And actually going into the very last restart, which was the green-white checker, they came over on his spotter, said, hey, the 11 car wants you to push him. You know, because he's afraid he was going to spin out his tires. So he was looking for help, and then they would go, you know, they'd go up and pass the 88 car, which was Junior. And, you know, even Denny Hamlin said, you know, this was not something that that Kevin Harvick, you know, caused. I told him to push me. So it was just a crazy crash, but nobody really got hurt, which was really great. And I think people should be celebrating that rather than saying, oh my God, this is the most horrific crash we've ever seen. No, there's been quite a few crashes throughout NASCAR that were just as bad as this one, you know, not to mention the races where, you know, unfortunately drivers have perished. So you saw the crash the next day, right?
Yeah, I saw it that morning. Yeah. But, you know, I remember a crash several years ago with Jeff Fodine in the trucks that was very, very similar to that.
Yeah.
And we're talking, this was like maybe, what, 6, 7, 8 years back. And his truck was like, you know, he walked away from that too.
Right.
So, you know, it showed you how much safety played a game back then as well too. So it was like, you know, yeah, it was a bad crash. But you know what too, what made it weird too is because at night, all the sparks showed up more than it would do during the day.
Right.
So it made it look like it was a lot worse than it really was.
Exactly.
But I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't a bad crash. It was. But, you know, when you just have, like, you know, scrapes and metals rubbing against each other at night and everything sparkling, it's going to make it look like, oh, my God, like, you know, like it was really insane, but it really wasn't.
Right. No, I understand. I mean, people were freaking out, and I'm like, you know, these must be new fans. These have got to be new fans because, you know, this has been, you know, I've seen Rusty Wallace and we've seen, you know, Ernie Irvin. We've seen so many drivers go through a really bad crash. I mean, we've seen Dale Earnhardt, you know, have crazy crashes where he came out of it and he was fine, or he broke his sternum. And then unfortunately that one time when he can't even talk about it without getting really upset about it, but he lost his life. But, you know, there were so, I mean, it was on national news. It was everywhere. You know, should they take the restrictor plates off? And it's like, well, I thought they put them on to decrease the horsepower. You know what I mean? You don't want them going 215 miles per hour. But yet we don't want them, you know, all bunched up like that. I don't know. We've had the restrictor plates for how long now? You know, we know this is the way it is. One horrible crash where the driver walked away, I don't think really needs changing. You know, it's just another one of those things where it's like NASCAR just like, instead of doing something, you know, preemptively, they do it after the fact. You know, they jump to conclusions, they go crazy, and they try to cover it up, you know, and, you know, I just hope they don't change anything. Just leave it all alone. You know what I mean?
I totally agree.
Yeah. I mean, just leave it alone. So, you know, and we're off to Kentucky this weekend, and we aren't. They are. NASCAR is. you know, it's funny because I don't think you all realize, Alan lives with the Racing Times news magazines. They're your photographer, Don, right?
Yeah.
So it's you, yep. Don, and myself. And so it's going to be like, you know, Three's Company. And every time I see you guys, you know, say where you've been eating or where you're going, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be at Hooters. I'm going to be at the Tilted Kilt. I'm going to be at God only knows where, you know, with the two of
I got three shirts made. One's going to say the other shirt's going to say racing, and the last shirt's going to say times. So we all got to put you in the middle with the racing, I'll be the, and that will be times. So we're all in sync.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be really cool for me because, I mean, you've seen, you know, most of these drivers, you know, in the modified divisions and, you know, all the local drivers. I haven't seen local drivers in New England since 2002. That's the last time I went to a local racetrack. So they've all changed. They've all changed since what they were back then. So pretty cool. I'm really excited. I can't wait. And, you know, it'll be great to see the, you know, to put faces to the names of people that, you know, we've interviewed. You already have done that. It's like, I haven't, you know, I haven't put faces to the names. You know, you can go by a picture on Facebook and it's just not the same, you know? So I'm really, really excited. Yeah. To go there. And it's funny because I was thinking today, I'm like, oh my gosh, I said a week from today we're on our way to Loudon, you know, and I can't wait to see a lot of the drivers that I used to, you know, that would see, they would see me when and they would know who I was. It's been a long time, but it'll be fun now.
It will be.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. We're going to have a blast. I'm excited. I'm really, really excited. I can't wait to go to Loudon. And everybody knows I don't like that track. I'm sorry. I just don't. For Sprint Cup, I just don't like that track. And I just think it's kind of boring. But apparently I'm alone because every single person that I talk to, they talk about how much they love Loudon, you know.
Everybody loves Loudon because of the modified race. Because during the modified race, you're going to see like 20, 30... lead changes. You're gonna. It's you know, and it's always there's a wreck at the end. It's always like a green light checker, right. But it's like probably the best race you're gonna see like all weekend long.
Yeah, I mean that's why I can't wait to see the modifieds. That's what I'm looking forward to. But as far as like you know the Sprint Cup, you know racing, it's just they don't have a chance to really pass that much, you know, they tried to improve on the banking a little. It's just not my favorite track, you know, but as far as what makes it perfect though, is, you know, you and I being in the media, you can't, you know, you're constantly bumping into race car drivers there with, if you have a pit pass, I mean, there's just no room. So you're like right there with everybody else. It's not like Pocono or, you know, where some or Talladega or Daytona where everything's so spread out. You know what I mean? You have to go out of your way to try and, you know, find a driver in order to even talk to him, you know? So Loudon, it's pretty cool because you're literally bumping into one another, you know? So I can't wait for that. You know, I just can't wait to be able to, you know, say hi to some of the guys that I haven't seen in so long. And I hope and pray they remember me. But I do want to find out if Landon Castle is going to make a map of Loudon, you know, even though Loudon's, I mean, it would be a very short map. That is for sure. But looking for that, looking forward to all of that. And of course, meeting you guys and all the places that you're going to bring me. And it's so funny because the first thing I said to you today, I was, hey, do you guys have a Walmart on the way home? Every girl needs to know where there's a Walgreens or a Walmart. Okay. Just in case we forget anything in our toiletry bag, you know,
ours is like Walmart and then Walgreens is right next to it. So you're in heaven over here. Yeah. So you won't have to worry about that.
I'm a little worried about the weather. I'm worried about the humidity. You know, I don't do humidity. We don't have humidity here. So I'm a little concerned about that. Let's just hope it's one of those weekends where they're saying, wow, it, you know, this is crazy. It's a little, you know, a little cold here this weekend. That's the Loudon I want, is the Loudon where it, that weekend where it's a little colder than it's supposed to be. And that's happened many times that I've gone there. You know, when I started going there, gosh, in 1990 something, I know it's late 90s. I would go there every year. And they would, in July, we would always have that weather where it's a little bit colder than everybody expected. So I hope it's the same instead of, you know, really hot, really humid and horrible. I'm hoping for that. So, and then you've got people that are actually family that's going to be coming into town. So we got to boot me out by at least the 28th or the 29th. So your family can come visit you.
Well, I already have the eviction papers filed for you. So I just have to call the sheriff. So I'm all good.
I bet. You know, what's really going to be cool is going to be meeting the guys from Victory Lane, to be able to meet Eric LaFlash and, you know, and plus, you know, meet some of the, you know, the owners of the teams, you know, Doug Dunleavy and Kelly Iverson. You know, I'm looking forward to meeting them. I'm looking forward to, you know, meeting Doug Kobe, meeting, you know, all these guys, you know, who we've been talking to, you know, just, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a really good time.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. And I'm going to be so busy, which I'm excited about, because I need to get busy. I need to get busy. So we're just waiting. If you all, we're just sort of like, we're waiting for George to give us a call, and he should be calling in any minute now. I know I gave him the right number. It's the first thing I did before I signed in and everything. I was like, oh my gosh, did I give him the right number? But I did. I gave everybody the right phone number, thank God. What are you looking forward to when I come out there?
Well, me and you, number one, and just, you know, just to have fun at the races. I mean, to meet the people that we talk to. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, and there's a new place I found to eat that's really good at the tracks. It's a tailgating event that I met through Facebook with Ryan Gilbert and I forgot his girlfriend's name now. She's going to kill me. Oh, Melanie. I got it. And then there's Jay and Aaron that go there, and it's a nice time. Kelly Iverson stops by, but I'll tell you, I mean, he's full blown with this tailgating thing, and it's like the only thing he's missing is wearing like a chef jacket and a hat, but everything else is to a T, and it's fun because after the tailgating we all go sit together in the stands and, you know, we all watch the race, and it's cool. I mean, it's an experience, and, you know, getting to meet people like that, you know. Mm-hmm. And they're super cool people. I mean, and it's like, you know, you look forward to going to the race because you know you're going to see them, you talk to them. And, you know, and I was forced to go to Stafford tomorrow because I'm friends with all of them on Facebook except for Jay. Jay put me in a virtual waiting room with like a priest and 15 other people before he accepts you. So he told me that he would accept me tomorrow if I show up at the tailgating. So then I can finally like make it a complete set.
Very cool. Well, I think we have our first guest on the line. Alan, do you want to go ahead and introduce him?
This is George Brunhosel III. He just won an event last week on the Southern Modified Tour, sponsored by our good friend Doug Dunleavy. Welcome aboard, George. How are you doing today?
Okay. I think we lost him. I tried getting on here a couple times. I got booted off, so I don't know if there's something going on, but I know he tried calling in twice. Maybe he will try again. Please try again, George. We know it's you, and we will put him on. Yeah, I know it. I tried calling in a couple times, and it booted me off, and I don't know why, but I'm sure. Give us a call back, George, and we will definitely get you on the line. He had a huge win last week at Caraway. And I'm really anxious to ask him about, you know, what is it like, you know, for the first time in how many years, Burt Myers is not in first place, you know, down there in the South. And actually Jason has overcome, Burt. And, you know, I'm a Jason Myers fan. I'm a big Jason Myers fan. So I'm kind of excited about that. You know, I believe this is it. We got him now. Perfect. Now, Ellen, now you may introduce George.
George, I gave you two whopping already introductions, but, driver to number 28, Dunleavy's Trailer and Truck Repair, Southern Modified, winner of last week's event, and, welcome aboard, George. Welcome, thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, George, this is Robin. Thank you so much for coming on. I was just talking about the fact that, you guys are really giving Burt Myers a run for his money, and I'm not a Burt Myers fan, so I'm loving it.
Perfect.
I the thing is, I know I do radio. If I was writing, then I can't, unless it's an op-ed, I can't give my opinion. But since it's radio and it's my show, I don't care. I'll say what I feel. So if I don't,
that's right.
If I want a driver to beat Burt Myers, I want a driver to beat Burt Myers. I want to thank you for last week. How did it go for you last week? I know you won, but how did the whole event start?
It went awesome. I mean, it was a great weekend. We had Doug Dunleavy from Dunleavy Truck Trailer Repair down, and as well as my other sponsor and partner, Bill Higby from Composite Technologies. So to have two of the biggest supporters and reasons that we're able to compete there and have the weekend go as good as it did and come home winning with both of them there made it really special.
That's fantastic. And it's funny because, Doug, sponsors a bunch of guys up north, and he sponsors you as well. And, he's such a great guy. And you're a third generation driver. That's totally cool. That is so cool. Now, it was your grandfather who started first?
Yep. My grandfather started racing, and, my dad followed suit, and then when I turned 16 and was able to drive, my dad actually got out of a ride he had at the current time and let me take it over so I could start my career.
That's awesome.
Yeah, George, I got a quick question for you. You got the Modified Tour up north that runs like 30, 32 cars. We even had like 38 cars show up at one of the events. But it seems like the Southern Modifieds are struggling to get to the, cars to the tour events. What do you think there's a problem? Where is the Southern cars lacking that the North has?
Unfortunately, I think a little bit is everywhere right now. Car counts are down, but the South is affected a lot harder because of the old, everybody complains about it, but it's, unfortunately, the real facts is just the Southern work. It's just as expensive to run as the North Tour. Your cars, your tires, your equipment, all that the same. So, a lot of people from coming. Where in the South, there actually are plenty of modifieds, whether they be NASCAR touring modifieds or running that. The Bowman Gray Weekly modified, but there are plenty of modifieds. Just getting them all to come to the same race is difficult when it doesn't pay a decent amount.
Yeah, and I know that when I went down to the South, I was going to Caraway on Friday night and then Bowman Gray on Sunday, and there were a lot of people saying that the attendance at Caraway has just plummeted, from, the past few seasons. And was it different this weekend? Was it more packed this weekend? I hope it was.
They did have a decent crowd this weekend, being 4th of July weekend. They had a fireworks show. There was a big late model race. The racetrack did a great job trying to get people there, and I think they did get some more people and more supporters there, but to compare it to a place like Bowman Gray, and the amount of people and supporters and followers they get at that racetrack is just tremendous. It's unlike anywhere I've ever been. They get an astronomical amount of people.
18,000
that come every
a year.
Week.
18,000 a week, Bowman Gray.
Yeah.
18,000.
That's crazy in short track world.
I actually love it. I love it because just because of the passion from the fans. The fans are so passionate. It's like, how can you not love it? And it's almost like going back to the future, you know, of what NASCAR was like many, many moons ago, you know? So I kind of like that atmosphere. I know some people, they're like, oh, it's the madhouse. It's crazy. I don't want to go there. But I love it. I just embrace it for what it is.
Oh, absolutely. It's a special place. Just, I mean, when you go there and before we race there with the tour race, you actually, after qualifying, you push your cars out there and you're sitting on the front stretch for an autograph session. It's just amazing. And you look up and see 10, 12, 18,000 people in there. It's just, it's a once in a lifetime experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah, George, I got a question. Doug Dudley sent me a picture of, I guess you guys had a swimming event or you guys were doing a picnic with a pool on Sunday. And his clue was, should I push the winner of the race into the pool? Now, did you get tossed into the pool after the, you know, during that event?
I didn't get pushed in. I did end up making my way in, but no, you didn't push me in. We had a good time. It was good to get together. My daughter turned 3, so we had a big birthday party for her, and it kind of worked out good with us winning the night before, so it was a good get-together. Doug came over, hung out, and enjoyed the sun for a little while.
That's fantastic. And have you ever driven, have you driven Bowman Gray before?
Yep, I've raced there. We race once a year just with the tour show there. Uh-huh. For the past 6 years now, we've run there. We've been fortunate enough to win one.
That's hard because that's such a hard track to pass on. You know, the only places you can really do it is, I don't know, is going into the corners. It seems that's the only way you can do it. I was so surprised seeing it for the first time, just how small it really was.
Yes, it's definitely a very difficult place to pass at. And the key there is just being able to qualify up front.
Right.
And then, hopefully we could do that again, qualify up front and get the Dunleavy's number 28 up front and be able to stay there the whole time.
So you drive in the Southern Modified Tour. Who do you look at as being like your number one rival or the person you feel you need to beat?
This year, there's actually quite a few. I mean, we don't have the great per se car counts, but each race you go to in the Southern Tour, and there's a strong presence of cars that could win. I mean, there's 5 or 6 cars at any event that definitely have a shot at winning.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely getting a lot more competitive.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And George, you ran Riverhead before. How many tracks do you come across down south that's formatted like Riverhead? Because Riverhead's a hard track, hard to pass, really small. And you catch, you know, the leaders catch the rear of the pack really, really quick. What track down south can you describe as a Riverhead for you?
We really don't have any per se small but banked racetracks down here. We have Bowman Gray, obviously, and then when we run the small track at Charlotte at Lowe's Motor Speedway, those are small quarter-mile tracks, but in comparison to Riverhead, Riverhead still has quite a bit of banking, so there's a decent amount of racing room. We really don't have any quarter mile small bouldering tracks down here like that have the banking and capabilities of being able to race.
And where are you off to this weekend, George? Where are you racing?
We're off this weekend, but we're going to go to Bowman Gray and use it as a test. It's not a, we're going to go, they offer an open practice in the morning, so
right.
We're going to go up there Saturday morning and do a little testing.
You'll have fun.
Yeah.
I know I sound like I'm obsessed with the place, but I kind of am obsessed with the place. And, you know, I have not, the only Northeast track I've ever been to would be Thompson, Lee, and Starr. I've never been to Stafford. I've never been to Waterford. I've never been to Seekonk. Well, that's the other one. So I'm really excited to be able to go there in a couple weeks. Is there anybody up north that you look at as I got to beat this guy? I have to win this one because I know you guys are going to be having a race between the Northern and the Southerners, correct? In Concord.
Yes. Yep. We'll have a north-south combination race. presented by Dunleavy's Truck Trailer Repair. So that'll be a great race, and very thankful that it's made its way back to Concord. But as far as up north, you got, once again, there's a handful of guys, but the Dunleavy's team, Doug Kobe, Phil Moran, Mike Griglio Racing, they're really good. So they're definitely a threat anywhere they go. Then you have the six car of Ryan Preece. He's been very strong lately. So those guys, if you're anywhere racing and they're there, if you could run with them and beat them, then you're doing something pretty good.
That's awesome. I want to thank you so much for coming on. If people want to get in touch with you or fans or sponsors of any kind, how can they do that?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for having me. And anybody can get in touch with me through Facebook or GB3 Racing on Twitter. I welcome any fans calling, coming by the shop if they're local. And thank you guys for having me on the show.
You are more than welcome. Have a great night. We call you GB3. Is that what we call? Is that what we call him? GB3.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. Take care, George, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye bye. Okay, that was George Brunholz. That was, I love these guys that they go to Bowman Gray and they respect it for what it is. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, I love that. And you know how much I love Bowman Gray. People get mad at me because I like it so much. But because it is old school, it's old school racing, it's old school everything. Somebody's going to have something illegal somewhere in there. And the rivalries, it's just crazy. Okay, we're going to go to a quick commercial break and we will be right back. Are back. Hope you all enjoyed that. A little bit of bad animals and heart. I love the fact that this radio station plays music. I absolutely love it. In fact, during the day when I'm doing a lot of my researching for the shows, I put Victory Lane on just to listen to the music during the day. It's so cool. You know what else I can't wait? I cannot wait to. I told Eric LaFleche, the owner of and president of Victory Lane, I said, dude, when I'm at Loudon, I want to be a pit reporter. I want to be your Jamie Little. You know, I want to do that. That's what I want to do. I want to say we're standing here next to Casey Kane, and we just want to ask Casey, you know, how do you feel about today? How do you feel? You think you're going to qualify all right? How does it feel to be the most ignored driver out of Hendrick Motorsports? How do you feel about that? So Eric could be like, what did you just ask? I'm going to say the truth. I'm asking him the truth.
And then when we come back from Loan, I'm going to have to be finding a new co-host for my show now on Thursdays.
I'm sorry. I say the truth. I speak the truth. So what am I going to do? You know what it is? It's the five car. That five car is like, I don't know. There's something with that five car. You know, Kyle Busch got out of that five car. Terry Labonte had it for a while. But there's not a lot of luck. It's known as like the car your career dies in, you know, unless you can get out. And I thought for sure when Kane's contract was up, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, go, leave, go to Stuart Haas. Somehow, some way, go to Stuart Haas. And of course, couldn't happen. You know, he already had his four, but I was like, oh, what does he do? He goes and he re-ups his contract with HMS. And it's like, dude, we need to talk. I need to sit down. I need to talk to him. We need to have an intervention with one Mr. Casey Kane. So we're going to be having, we're waiting for Rowan Penick to come on. And of course he is, he's a driver of the number 99, the 93, and the 25 car.
Yeah, it's just a matter, you got that right.
Yeah, it's a matter of just where he's racing and who he's racing for. That's got to be pretty damn cool. So, and he, of course, races for the NASCAR Whelen All-American Series as well as the 5K Modified. And he's, oh, this might be him right now. And I believe it is. Driver, Rowan Penick, how you doing, Ryan? Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me on.
So, I understand you won last week, and you've won, I think, the last five races, is it not?
Yeah, we've won five so far, including one last week.
That's fantastic. Now, you did it on the 4th of July weekend. How fantastic was that?
Oh, it was a great way to start off the 4th of July weekend. We had the win at Stafford and continued to have a great 4th of July with some partying and some fireworks.
Oh, that's fantastic. Alan, are you using your phone or something? Because we can hear the beeps.
No, I'm trying to figure out what's beeping.
I don't. It sounds like somebody's phone.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know who that is. So bring us back to last week when you were starting the race. Did you know, you know, during practice that you were the car to, you know, the car to beat?
No, actually, we had car wasn't that great in practice, actually, but it had old tires on it, and the guys on the 99 team up there usually have it figured out for me to become feature time, and they did it. The car was right where we needed it to be for the feature, and was able to drive from 15th or so up to the front.
That's awesome. And so you knew, you know, how many laps did you dominate once you were able to get up front? I wasn't there, unfortunately, but were you able to dominate once you knew that you were in first?
No, actually, it was a really tight race right down to the wire.
Oh, awesome.
I got up to third behind Ryan Preece and Joey Cipriano, who had real strong cars, and they were running side by side for like 10 or 12 laps, and I was kind of trapped behind them in third and tried to make a couple three wide moves and had to back out of it. And then Ryan and Joey ended up getting together and crashing off of turn four, which gave us the lead, and we were able to hold on from there.
Wow. I mean, and also, you know, you've got the fireworks, you got the crowd worked up, your team owners there, you know, your teammates, everyone must have been just like, so, especially with the fifth win. I mean, you know, already into the season. I mean, that just, you just maybe like living a dream right now.
Yeah, definitely. Last year we started off the season, with probably, five DNFs, and, this year we've had five wins within the first half of the season, so definitely a better way to start off.
And Rowan, everybody knows, you know, Kelly, you know, throughout the pit, she's like an awesome person. But, you know, as a car owner, but tell us, you know, how is Kelly as a person?
Oh, Kelly's a great person. She's full of life at the track. Always has everything we need in the trailer, you know, food for all the guys, and she's great to have around. Her and Bob are awesome people, and couldn't ask for any better car owners.
That's a really good answer. That was a very good answer. And the fact that she brings food, she's a smart lady. Bring the guys food and everything will go well.
That's right.
Now, I have a feeling, I think Kelly is on the line. Are you on the line, Kelly? Nope, she's not on the line. I'm sorry. Oh, maybe this is her. Yep, there she is. Kelly, we wanted to surprise Rowan by he gave a very good answer in regards to the question of how he loves having
no, I'm here.
Yep. So did you get to hear his answer? I I don't hear her. Okay. She must have
Her call. The call. I didn't. What did he say? Did he call me a bad word?
No. He said very, very nice things. In fact, he can tell you himself what he said.
Excuse me?
Did you want to...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
You just explain your answer again, Rowan, because Kelly didn't hear your answer.
Oh. I said Kelly's the worst car owner out there.
Oh, okay. That's what I expected.
No, I'm just kidding. I said you're the best, Kelly.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's because we want to see you on radio and you're lying.
he had a very nice answer, and you'll be able to hear it once we put up the recording of the show. But thank you so much for calling in, Kelly.
Okay, thanks, Roland. Thanks, guys.
Looking forward to meeting her in a couple weeks. That'll be fun. We want to say sorry to you, Rowan. She wanted to. She set us up for that one. She wanted us to ask the question and to get your answer and to surprise you by being on the line with her. So yeah, it kind of backfired a little bit, but no big deal. So we were talking to George, I cannot get this guy's name right, and I am so, so sorry. Brunholzl. Yes. He is doing very well down there in the South, and so is Jason Myers. And are you going to be also racing in the Northern Modified race in Concord?
Oh, the North South Shootout race at Concord?
Yes.
I plan on going down there as long as everything goes right towards the end of the season. But I love that. It's one of my favorite tracks, Concord. It's a real fast racetrack and one of the funnest to race on. So I've been dying to go back there ever since the North-South Shootout went to Caraway. So we're excited for that one.
And, Rowan, this week, Woody Pickett announced that he was going to run the Valenti Modified race on Friday and skip out on Friday's race at Stafford, one of the biggest SK races around. But you were in a similar situation a couple years back when you were the point leader. And how hard is it to step away from a race that Stafford's holding this weekend with the money being allowed for the racers compared to, like, trying to run for a championship? I mean, do you think Woody made the right call on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really tough decision, which race to go to. I've been in the same situation myself, like you said. And, I mean, they've had a tough season at Stafford so far, and they're leading points up with the MRS series. So when you're running for two different teams, that's really what it comes down to. You got to give whatever, you got to go with whatever team you're doing best in points, unless you have prior arrangements before the season starts, and that's what Woody's doing.
So, Rowan, who is it in the South that you look at as, the one to beat?
Excuse me?
Who is the driver that drives in the Modified Series in the South that you look at as that's the guy to beat?
It seems like down there, George Brunholzl is usually winning a lot of races. I haven't kept up with the stats down there too much this year. I've been doing so much racing up here myself, but he's usually a tough one down there.
Now, how many races do you race a week? Sometimes I can't keep up with you guys in the North. You guys are racing on Wednesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, Sundays. I mean, it's nuts. I mean, what was the most where you did in 1 week?
Oh, I think I've done 4 races in a week before.
Wow.
We race every single Friday night in the SK series with the 99 car, and I'm not sure how many are on the MRS schedule this year, but we run as many of those as we can make it to, and the NASCAR Tour, there's 14, so
right,
it adds up quick.
So if somebody wants to get in touch with you, Rowan, we want to thank you for coming on. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, or a fan wants to get in touch with you, or a sponsor, how can they do that?
Oh, they can message me on Facebook or visit my website, RowanPennock.com, or email me at rpennock@yahoo.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming on, and I hope to meet you in a couple weeks when I come up to New England.
All right. Sounds good. I appreciate you guys having me on.
You are more than welcome. Take care. That was
all right. We'll see you.
That was Rowan Pennock, and the guy drives three different cars. Busy. Four. Can you imagine doing four or five races in a week? That's got to be nuts, because you have to, just the mental aspect of it, Alan, you know, to be able to, you know, get your head in the right place for each different track, you know?
And for Rowan, it's a different car for each race, so right. It's not like the same car all week. It's, you know, he breaks it up with different other tracks, so.
Exactly. Well, we're going to go totally full circle here, okay? We're done talking about NASCAR right now, because I want to talk about monsters, and I want to talk about monster trucks. And I want to talk about this cute girl who's probably weighs all of 110 soaking wet, drives these huge monster cars, and is actually the driver of the Stomper Monster. How are you, Macy? I'm so glad to have you on again.
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. I'm so happy to have you on, because it just cracks me up that you drive these trucks. I want you to meet my co-host, Alan. He saw all of your pictures. Like, she drives what? She drives that? And I'm like, yep, she does.
I'm still speechless looking at the pictures right now. I'm like, oh, my God. And it's like, you know, you could fit in one of the big tires in the middle. You could crawl up into a ball and fit, like, right as a hub. I mean, you're so tiny compared to the trucks behind you.
Yeah, actually, a month ago now at the Unlimited Off-Road Expo, me and Amber Walker McCready, she used to drive Miss Bigfoot. We actually got her, like, all the way into the tires.
Oh, my gosh.
Hilarious.
So how are things going for you since the last time we talked? Has your season started?
Yes, it has. I've actually been really busy so far this year.
That's good.
I've had a few shows, done a few displays. I have a display this Saturday as well up at Christian Life Center Church in Piqua, Ohio.
Oh, wow.
And I've been crewing for Team Beast, just kind of helping out my friends there and just trying to stay busy and everything else. It's been pretty hectic so far. I haven't had a full weekend home since May.
Wow. Well, and for those of you, you know, who haven't heard of Macy, one, shame on you, but two, look her up, go to our Facebook group. You'll find information on her. You know, for the listeners that, you know, don't know, how did you get involved in monster truck racing?
I got involved in monster trucks by my dad. He's been driving for 24 years now. And for the longest time, I went through that phase to where I wanted nothing to do with monster trucks. I was like, this is all so stupid. We just need to get rid of it. I'm so done. And then eventually I saw these mini monster trucks that Team Kid KJ out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I was like, huh, that's actually pretty cool looking. So I went and I talked to Todd, and I was like, you think I can try to get in one of these? And he was like, yeah, sure. So I got in with him. I started driving those. And then a year after that, Bobby Holman with Team Beast, he came up to me and he was like, you want to try to drive a full-size truck this summer? And I was like, heck yeah. And then ever since then, I've been driving the full-size for, it's going to be 3 years this year.
That's fantastic. That blows my mind. The first time you actually got in one and that you had to drive, were you a little intimidated?
I was at first. I remember actually the very first time I actually got to, like, move it or drive it. Of course, my dad was in there with me and I was sitting on his lap. And I was like, what if I mess it up? What if I'm going to break it? And I was only about maybe 12 years old at the time.
Wow. Wow. Well, I'm still teaching my son how to drive, and I still get nervous. Just when he's going down the street.
Well, let me ask you.
Glad it's not a monster truck.
No kidding.
let me ask you. You see, like, you guys run on outdoors, indoors, like in the bigger stadiums. What do you like to drive better? Is it more fun being indoors, or do you feel being better being outdoors?
Oh, I for sure love being outdoors more than anything, because you have more space to do whatever you'd like to do. And another thing, it's a lot easier on the fans as well, because they're not trying to breathe in all those fumes from the trucks that are just rolling around an indoor arena. When you're outside, the fumes are just kind of blowing away with the wind, and it doesn't affect the fans as much.
I can see, you know, enclosed and then all the dirt everywhere. But there's probably also diehard fans that absolutely love it because they want to get dirty and they want to have the fumes all over them, you know. Now, how are things going on your end? Have you won any races this year?
Actually, I had a show about 2 weeks ago at Badlands Off-Road Park in Attica, Indiana. And I was with Jim Kohler with Avenger, his brother Steve Kohler with Wrecking Crew, Aaron Kane with Quad Chaos, and Jerry Beck with Dirt Crew. And I was running with them, and of course, they're not going to cut me any slack being the only girl and the youngest. So, I mean, wheelies went okay, could have been better. Donuts, I finally learned how to do my donuts, and that truck was just filled with mud. In freestyle, I actually came in third. I beat Steve, which was pretty cool, so now I get to hold that over his head.
I love it. And fans must go nuts when they see you because they're like, holy crap, she's like teeny, you know? And they're like, how the hell does she, you know, is she able to drive these things? And, you know, that's what's so cool is that one, you know, you don't just do it for exhibition. I mean, you're in it to win it, and that's what I love about you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get just as competitive as the boys. Like, I'll go and I'll go back and visit because Dayton, Ohio is only about 2 hours from me. So I'll go and visit the Holmans with Team Beast. And I remember, like, a month or so ago, I was playing Wii with Cody up there. And we were playing a Sonic Mario Olympics. And I got so competitive with him. And he just kind of looked over at me and he was like, are you kidding me? I said, I'm so competitive right now. I was like, I just want to beat you.
And let me ask you, I mean, you see, like, guys that are 6'1", 6'2", struggling to get into the truck. I mean, how do you, like, actually, like, work your way to get into the truck? Because you guys are really, really up there, you know, compared to, like, you know, getting into a regular, like, car or a regular race car. But, do you run on a trampoline, do a quick jump, and then, like, climb in? Or how does that work with you?
We just kind of climb on the bars and go underneath of the truck and up into the seat. It's really simple. It's easier for like me to show you personally than to really talk about it, because when I talk about it, people are like, oh, I don't know. And then it's so much easier to just kind of show people. Like whenever I'm on display or anything, I'll show them because I get that question so often. They're like, how do you get in it? And I'll show them and I'm like, this is how you do it.
And I have to tell you something, Macy. I was in North Carolina and I was doing a track tour for the weekend. And one of the drivers said to me, "Try to get in my race car." I had never tried to get into a stock car before, and I was able to get in, no problem. It was the getting out. You know, when you take the steering wheel out and you put it to the side, and I was like, oh my gosh, one wrong move and I'm in big trouble. And it scared the crap out of me. And everyone, of course, people are, you know, taping it. It was on, you know, YouTube in about 5 minutes. I'm like, how ridiculous I look trying to get out of that race car.
I feel like there's some kind of art that they have, like getting in and out of the race car, because it's like they don't have much space. And some of the monster truck drivers, I've gotten inside of their trucks and it is just so small in the cab. Like they have to take the steering wheel off in order to get in there.
Right.
And I mean, some of them aren't that small anymore as they get up in age. So I can see why they need to take the steering wheel off. But the old truck that I used to drive, the heavy metal and the chalkboard Chuck truck, because it was the same truck, just two different bodies, it was a little snug in there. I'm not going to lie, but I mean, it was easier for me. So then once I transferred from that truck to the Stomper truck, I was like, oh my gosh, there's so much more room to move around. It was a big difference for sure.
I bet.
And let me ask you this. If you guys had it's the truck and you're, what driver would you want to give a ride to?
Oh gosh. I don't know. I mean, I guess I would have to give a ride to Cody Holman. He drives Son of Beast. He's my best friend in this sport, of course, as you can tell. But he always gets on me for driving like my regular car because he thinks I'm such a bad driver when I know in reality I'm not. I'm not a bad driver, but he thinks I am. He does it to make fun of me all the time, and I just kind of try to shrug it off my shoulder. But I'd like to take him for a ride because I'll be like, hey, look, I'm not a bad driver like you say I am. I just like to go and crush stuff when I'm bigger.
And so when does your season end?
I mean, there's no really set date for it to end, but a lot of the times towards the winter upcoming, a lot of the teams like to stop around like late September, kind of maybe mid-October, so then they have a few months to start making changes and everything for the first part of January. But unfortunately, we didn't get to have a first quarter this year because I was stuck at college.
Well, at college, you know, you got to weigh it out, though.
But, I mean, that helped out this year because staying at school for a whole semester actually made me on the dean's list, so I was pretty happy about that.
You know what? That's better. That's better for you. And what are you actually studying for? What is your major?
My major is radiology, and my specific thing that I want to do is radiation therapy, like in oncology.
Oh, fantastic. That's a rewarding job. That's awesome.
Well, I really want to do that because my grandma, she had breast cancer, and then my grandma, she had lymphoma. So they both beat it with the help of these radiation therapists. So This is a big drive for me to go and be this occupation.
So what an awesome tribute to them for you to want to do that.
It's big in my heart for sure.
And you just said, you made a comment that you got stuck on campus, but if you drive that truck with you around campus, I'm sure you're not going to get stuck anywhere.
I got that comment so much when I would go on campus and I would just, you know, tell people, hey, yeah, I drive monster trucks. And I didn't really think a thing about it because I'm just so used to talking about it. And they were like, is it out in the parking lot? I'm like, no, guys, I have to drive a regular car. It's not street legal.
Now, I don't know if you have a boyfriend or not, but do you use the fact that you're a monster truck driver to, you know, like, hey, I'm a monster truck driver.
I mean, sometimes I do, but like right now, my friend Mallory that I met at school, and now we're having the time of our life just doing what we need to do. She's like, we're only 19 years old. We don't need to settle down yet. She said, right. We got like years down. They like to chase, but I don't like to catch.
That's awesome. So what's your next stop coming up?
My next stop so far is that display that I told you about that's on Saturday at the Ohio. And then I think, and I wish that my crew guy Richie would tell me this. I'm saying this because I know he's listening because he texted me that. I wish he would give me more details about a show that we're supposed to have on July 23rd that's supposed to be right outside of Indianapolis.
Oh, wow.
So once he gives me more information on that, I will let you know.
Well, maybe he's got a surprise for you. Who knows?
Maybe.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, Macy. I so enjoy having you on. And it just, like I said, all of you, look at our Facebook group. You'll take a look at Macy and you'll be like, there's no way this girl does that. But she does because she's a badass, basically. So,
Oh, he did text me, by the way. He just said it's a definite show.
Oh, awesome. There we go. Perfect.
So thank you, Richie, for that.
So they can see you this week at the church, and then the following, the 25th, you said you're going to be where?
The 23rd. He said it's a county fair show it's around Indianapolis, but okay. I'll be sure to message you and give you the details so you can kind of let people know about it too.
Oh, absolutely. We will definitely do that. Thank you so much for coming on, and have a wonderful weekend.
Oh, you too. Thank you so much for having me again. It was nice speaking to you again. And nice meeting you too.
No problem. Thank you so much. That was Macy Nichter. She's just an absolute doll. And for any of you, I mean, I don't mean that like in a demeaning way. I mean, she's so sweet. You know what I mean? And then you look at her and she's like this teeny little thing. But when you get her in those monster trucks, everything changes. You know, she's just I'm a badass and I'm going to make sure you know it mode. And I love that. I love that about her. You know how they say all these drivers, they they go from being, you know, whatever, and then once they get into their office, everything changes. Well, that's how it's like for Macy. She's so cool. So very cool.
It's like that for every driver. Once they get into the car, they're a total different person.
Now, I have to ask you, last week, Jeff Gordon said that he was glad that this was the last time he was going to be at Daytona. Do you think he really feels that way? Or, you know, maybe after Superbike racing, maybe he is kind of done with it. But he doesn't seem to really be reflecting on how much, you know, this season means. I don't know if it's really reached him yet that it's coming to an end.
I don't think it's going to hit him until, you know, like, I know he loves Martinsville. I think it's going to hit him Martinsville because people don't, you know, every driver says they're going to retire.
Right.
How many drivers have you heard say, I'm going to retire, this is it, but actually the next season, all of a sudden, you know, so-and-so is going to be driving at this race. And it wouldn't surprise me if I see Jeff Gordon running next year at Martinsville.
I don't know. I think he really is done. But he was going to bring back his rainbow car last race, but he didn't really bring it back. Or I didn't see we were told that he was going to have the rainbow warrior type of paint scheme, and it was like it, but just different. It wasn't the old school one that we're used to seeing from back in the 90s.
No, it wasn't even close to it. I agree. But it's still Jeff Gordon. So no matter, I mean, he can come with a black car with just duct tape 24 on it, and it's still Jeff Gordon.
Absolutely. That's so very true. Now, as far as the crash that happened this week, they had Austin Dillon on Good Morning America. I'm sure he was on the Today Show. God knows where else he was. And we were talking about this earlier. I mean, NASCAR's done a very good job as far as safety, and especially in the cages of the car. You know what I mean? To be in a wreck where basically, you know, your motor is in transmission or like 10 feet from where you are and everything. And it's like everything broke but the middle. You know what I mean? And it all protected Austin Dillon in that car. And it's just, it's unbelievable. And I think NASCAR needs to say, we as fans need to say thank you, because we're constantly giving them, not them, but more like tracks. We tend to give tracks a hard time if they don't have the, you know, the cushion walls, you know what I mean? And, you know, this time, you know, what NASCAR's done as far as safety has worked, and we're lucky in that aspect. Don't you agree?
Oh, I totally agree. It's like, I mean, I knew one of the officials, she ended up, you know, getting married and she left the sport, but she was working at the R&D center. And I get to talk to her, you know, when I saw her, I got to talk to her, and she used to tell me, you know, like after an accident, what they look for, what they do,
right,
and different things that I didn't know, you know, and even Don is being like, you know, went with me to a couple of these conferences because he'll take the pictures of the people.
Right.
And then he would shrug his shoulders like, wow, I never thought of that, or I never seen them, or I never heard of them doing stuff. So NASCAR is like, you know, way ahead of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be like, you know, they're not catching up with anything. They're farther advanced than what people really think with the cars.
Yeah, and it's kind of unfortunate that, you know, it took Dale Earnhardt Sr.'s death to, you know, really look at things differently and realize that, you know, that you've got to hold them in and get something like a Hans device. And, you know, I remember talking, I think it was a couple weeks ago, to a couple of drivers that run dirt, and they don't use any type of Hans device at all. Some drivers don't. And it blows my mind, especially in dirt, because, I mean, they don't have a spotter. They don't have, they have no radio communication. They can barely see out of great modifieds. I mean, you can't really see. You're in
Talk, 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 talk.